it's such a unique experience, isn't it, to be able to join together online. And of course, we've had a unique journey as a church family, as a city, as a state, as a nation, and globally, all that we have navigated in what we know about the coronavirus, but also just in the unknown. And I want to thank you for your flexibility and your willingness to join us for this online experience. And we're all making adjustments. We're all having to navigate this together. And here I am, preaching to an empty worship center, this beautiful worship center at Champion Forest Baptist Church, our Champions location. We are one church in four locations, and here we get to come together in this online experience. And I want to thank you for making room in your life for this moment so that we could worship God and express our love and devotion to Him, so that we could claim His promises together, so that we could read His Word together, and so that we could give to advance His kingdom together. So thank you for making this a very important moment in your day, and we're so grateful that we're able to leverage technology to move from one church in four locations to multiple locations, as in hundreds of locations, and we just want to dive into God's Word together. The reality is we're going to get through what we're going through, and that's because God is God. And God is on His throne, and God is dependable, and God is trustworthy. We know we're going to get through what we're going through. The question is it possible to grow through what we're going through? And there's a choice for us to make. And I want to invite you into God's Word as we explore this concept together. It's in Philippians chapter 4. We've been marching through the book of Philippians. It's so loaded with such an amazing message to us that has so stirred our hearts in this journey. And I just love where we are in this moment. Philippians chapter 4. And I want to give you two steps on how to grow through what you're going through. And let me go ahead and give you step one. If you'll go ahead and write it down, and then we're going to look at our passage of Scripture together. Let me give you step one. Here it is. Expand your capacity to give and receive. Expand your capacity to give and receive. Now we're in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to pick up in verse 10. Now to build the context, Paul is under house arrest. He's chained to a Roman soldier, and Paul is 850 miles away from the church at Philippi. And he has written this love letter to them, anointed by God, and we get to read it. We get to experience it together, and we're going to pick up in verse 10, where Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, says, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity." I want you to notice how Paul chose to rejoice in the Lord. Even in the midst of adverse circumstances, Paul chose to rejoice in the Lord. I remember years ago getting to spend some time with Dr. Adrian Rogers, who was Pastor Bellevue in Memphis, Tennessee, and now he's in heaven. But he would always say, "Rejoice is a choice." And Paul would affirm that reality. You see, Paul demonstrated that you can choose to rejoice regardless of your circumstances. You can experience joy in the journey, even in the midst of difficult adversity. And we're going through a difficult season as a nation and as a globe. And the reality is we can experience joy even in the midst of all the changing dynamics that we're experiencing. You see, Paul knew how to be a giver. He had invested his life in the missionary journeys and starting churches. He invested his life in planting the church at Philippi. And then he invested his life in helping those believers grow and develop. And then he would move on and invest in other works of ministry. So Paul was a giver. Maybe you know somebody like that who is such a giver, always looking to see how they can add value to other people. Maybe somebody in your family, maybe you're that way, that you just love to give and love to add value to other people. But you have to learn how to become a receiver. And in seasons of adversity, when we go through difficult times, it really challenges us to expand our capacity to be a giver, but also to be a receiver. Paul said, "You have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity." You see, Paul experienced a crisis that created the opportunity for the church at Philippi to become the givers and for Paul to become the receiver. Paul's adverse circumstances created the opportunity. Now, let's talk about our reality. And let's notice how the coronavirus and what we are dealing with, how the coronavirus crisis we're in creates opportunity, just as Paul's imprisonment created for him. What we're going through right now has created opportunity. Now, yes, it has created confusion. It's created some chaos in our culture and globally, especially in the airline industry. When it's related to travel, some of us have already experienced that. But it also has created opportunity. And there's something that God is up to in the midst of this difficult circumstance where God wants to do a work in us so God can do His work through us. You see, God can take an interruption in our lives and turn it into an opportunity to advance His kingdom. God can take an interruption in our lives and turn it into an opportunity for us to really experience His grace at a whole new level and then to be able to showcase His grace at a whole new level. Whenever we study God's Word, we come across a powerful story where the multitudes are gathered and Jesus had been teaching them, and then Jesus said to His disciples, "Feed them." Now, the Bible tells us there were 5,000 men gathered, plus the women and children, so we're talking about thousands and thousands of people gathered. And the disciples said, "We don't have enough food to feed them. Send them on their way." And then Jesus said, "You feed them." And it was in that moment, in that crisis, that an opportunity developed where a little lad who brought his lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish, he gave his lunch to the apostles. They gave them to Jesus. Jesus multiplied 2 times 5, as S.M. Lockridge said, and it became 5,000. You see, the little lad was willing to bring Jesus what he had. And that crisis created an opportunity for God to reveal His glory in the midst of difficult circumstances. And God is positioning us in the same way, that we would expand our capacity to both give and to receive. And God's given us so many opportunities right now in our current reality to be a blessing and benefit to other people. There's so many opportunities that have arisen because of this crisis that outside of this crisis wouldn't even be available. And the question is, will the church arise? Will we seize this moment, this opportunity to be a blessing and a benefit to other people? So let me ask you this question. Where do you need to grow as a giver and as a receiver? There's 2 words I want us to think about. The first word is generosity. The second word is humility. To be a giver requires generosity. To be a receiver requires humility. Notice, generosity, what I have, I am willing to give. Humility, what I need, I'm willing to receive. It takes generosity and humility to expand our capacity to give and receive. And I want us to position ourselves for that. I want us to ask God, God, show us where we can grow in the area of generosity and where we can grow in the area of humility. And let's allow God to expand our capacity to both give and receive. Because there will be seasons during this experience where we're going to have to give more than we've ever given. And there may come seasons in this situation where we also have to learn how to receive. And sometimes that's really hard to do. And that's why it takes humility. Let me give you step number 2. How to grow through what you're going through. Here's step number 2. Deepen your dependency upon Christ. That is a non-negotiable. That is a game changer in our walk with God. We're going to pick up now in verse 11 and then verse 12. Paul said, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content." Sounds like he's been on a journey. And then look at verse 12. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and want, plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And Paul is demonstrating that he knows what it's like to be in the palace, but he also knows what it's like to be in prison. And whether he's in the palace or in prison, he's learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. You know, God had to bring Paul through the university of adversity. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you've taken several semesters in that very university, because we live on a broken planet and we live in a fallen world, and we are susceptible to sickness and disease, and we're susceptible to difficulties in life. And the question is, can we learn this contentment? You see, Paul said, I've learned this secret. But what we get to discover together is that Paul's secret is no longer a secret, because he unveils the answer in verse 13. Look with me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You know, every time I read that verse, it reminds me of when I helped coach my son Austin's Little League baseball team when he was younger. The team was called the Crusaders, and Mike Petro, the head coach, and they asked me if I would help out, and I love being part of that experience and just watching the boys grow and develop. And the verse that we claimed for the team, that the team memorized and we would quote after every game and before every game, we would quote Philippians 4:13. And I remember how often we would just claim that. Now listen, we really had to claim that if we were losing. And then when you're winning, you got to keep claiming it to stay in victory. And that became such a wonderful verse for the entire team. Even the parents were leaning in and experiencing the blessings of Philippians 4:13. Now, what I want to show you is there are several ways to read it, and it all depends on what you emphasize. And so let's look at it together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can say, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Or, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Or, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Or maybe you shift the emphasis. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The question is, where do you put the emphasis when you're in crisis? And here's what you'll discover. What you emphasize with your eyes, so keep your eyes on the prize. What you emphasize will get your eyes. So keep your eyes on the prize. Whenever the disciples were out in the boat and they experienced a storm and they saw what they thought was a ghost walking on the water, and come to find out it was Jesus, literally walking on the water to come to where the disciples were. And I love Peter. Peter is such a wonderful, incredible man of God. As you study him in Scripture, I just love his passion. I love even his impulsivity. And Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. Now, I'm quoting the King James Version. If it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. In other words, Lord, if that's you, let me come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat and he walked on the water. And as he was walking on the water, he began to notice the wind and the waves were boisterous. And he took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. And I want us to give Peter credit right here. As he was sinking, he knew to call out to Jesus. And he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down and pulled him up. You see, Peter was willing to get out of the boat. Peter was willing to trust in Christ to provide everything he needed to do what Christ had called him to do. And even as we navigate these troubled waters related to the coronavirus crisis, as we navigate the fear of the unknown, as we navigate all that entails in our future, which we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. And we know that Jesus provides the strength we need to see us through. And Peter was willing to rely fully upon Jesus as he stepped out of the boat. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And here's what you'll discover. Your level of contentment is directly related to your level of dependency upon Christ. You see, our union with Christ changes everything. Our connection to the Lord Jesus Christ gets us connected to the resources of heaven. And here's what I want you to understand. Before Jesus can become your source of strength, Jesus must become your Savior and Lord. And that's our passion for you, that if you don't know the Lord, that you would come into relationship with him. Now, I'm going to show you something that hopefully was familiar to you before the coronavirus crisis, but I know it's familiar to you now. And it's called hand sanitizer. In fact, the prices on this little bottle have fluctuated quite a bit over the last few days. This has become a precious commodity. And I hope you use hand sanitizer. We have these in all of our vehicles. We use them extensively, and we have really used them extensively in this current season that we're in. But when it comes to having a right relationship with God, what's interesting is that hand sanitizer can help you on that one. You see, hand sanitizer can remove germs, but it cannot remove the sin that separates you from God. Hand sanitizer is insufficient. It takes so much more than germ removal to be reconciled to our holy God. And here's the wonderful news that I want to share with you. Jesus has already completed the work necessary to provide for the removal of your sin. His sacrifice on the cross can serve your greatest need. In fact, his sacrifice on the cross is the only thing that can serve your greatest need. And I'm so grateful that I can share with you an amazing verse from Scripture that changes everything for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Apostle Paul, who wrote to the church at Philippi, also wrote to the church at Corinth. For our sake, Jesus became sin who knew no sin, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. We call this a divine transaction. We call this the great exchange, where God in Christ removes our sin and then he imputes the righteousness of Christ. And we have a new standing before a holy God because of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. When we turn from sin and trust in Jesus alone for salvation, we experience that divine transaction where we're adopted into God's family. We are filled by God's Spirit. Our sin is removed. We receive the righteousness of Christ, and we become children of God, the great exchange. And God has provided that gift to you. And he allowed Jesus to die on the cross to pay the penalty of our sin and to purchase our salvation. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible also says, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the wonderful news I want to share with you on this online experience is this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with a heart, one believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth, one confesses, resulting in salvation. And then Romans 10, 13. For whosoever, that's you, that's me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What would keep you from receiving the gift of eternal life? What would keep you from having the assurance of heaven and eternal life? What would keep you from turning from sin and yourself and receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior? What would keep you from receiving the greatest gift ever provided to you that will change your forever?
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by what you heard today. you'd like more information about Champion Forest Baptist Church, our service times, or how you can get connected, visit us at championforest.org. Thanks so much. Have a great day, and God bless.